God is good, always, all the time. Amen. I do want to thank you. I bring you greetings from Maun, Botswana, in South Africa. There's a family there that we have blessed, that I've been communicating and talking with and sharing with, and we've had the opportunity to bless them as they've had some challenges in this lockdown time, and they just wanted us to thank you very much for your love and your care. You, House of the Lord, are making a difference around the world. This week, minister there, because of your gifts and what you've given, was able to take food, blessings, and the ministry of the word to several families that otherwise probably wouldn't have anything. And because of your generous giving and your love, we were able to be a blessing to them. And there is much going on over there that God is doing, and I am excited for his timing. When he opens the doors, when he opens the airlines, when he opens the countries, Brother Kempo will be going back to minister, and we will be sending him and supporting what he is doing there. At some point, KB and KK are going to be going back. I really don't like to think of any of them going back, but God trusted us to take care of them for a while and then let them go and do what they're called to do. Amen. So we will be faithful with that, and I appreciate those of you who have given and those of you who continue to give, because we continue to have places to put it for what God is doing over in Africa. Amen. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day, this good day that you have made, this opportunity to come, Father, before you to exalt, magnify you, and receive from you. Father, I pray right now that every heart is prepared to receive your word, the fullness of your word. Father, that it would take root and produce mature, remaining fruit. Father, we draw on the anointing of your precious Holy Spirit to teach and to lead us this day into all truth. We thank you that we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are doing within us and through us. Father, we pray that you would minister in a mighty way, and anything that you desire to do that we haven't seen before us, Father, interrupt us at any moment, at any time, and accomplish your purpose in this house and in your people. Minister this day to your people, Father, your fullness, your love, your truth, your wisdom, your understanding, your direction. And Father, we will be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise that is due your name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. How many of you were here Wednesday night? Most of you. If you were not here, or even if you were, I would encourage you to go back and listen to an exhortation that Brother Damon gave about taking the limits off of God, letting him out of the box, as it were. We have preconceptions, preconceived ideas of what we think God will and won't do and how he will and won't do it, and he is looking for ways to surprise us. And the more open to that we are, the more he is able to bless us in that area, in the ways that he reveals himself to us and in the ways that we accomplish what he has put in front of us. God wants to do mighty things with us. We have to allow him to show us those mighty things to come. Amen? So taking the limits off of God, not putting him in a box. I'm going to mess probably just a little bit with somebody's theology. Just a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to please hear my heart with this, to hear me out with this. I've mentioned it before, but I just want to make sure that we're all understanding this. There are those people in the earth, probably not anybody in here, but maybe somebody you know, that believe that the prayer of faith addresses everything. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to pick this scripture that says, God's working all things for my good. Hallelujah, praise God, that's it, it's done. And they never seek the heart of God for maybe what he's trying to do in that situation. They don't just spend a little time listening, and you know, for the Holy Spirit to reveal what is the word on this subject, what is the course of action. And I would present to you that if it were only the word of faith, that all we need to do is thumb through a, I don't know, a concordance and find a noun that seems to fit what we want. You got that right. And then just, you know, slap it on there and say that's it. If that's all that were necessary, then why would we have Ephesians 6:18 and 1 Timothy 2 and all of these things that talk about so many different ways to pray and accomplish things in the Spirit? So one of the first things that I've done is when I've thought, okay, this is how it's supposed to happen, and I put the word on it, as we do. The word of God is sovereign. It is the final say. But I don't sense a breakthrough, if you will. I don't sense a peace in here that is taken care of. I'll take a little time and spend before the Father and say, okay, God, if there's something I'm missing, show me. The bottom line is I stand on your word that you're faithful to me, but is there something else that maybe there's something I need to forgive? Maybe there's something I need to actively take care of. Maybe there's something, somebody he wants me to talk to. Maybe he wants me to pray in the Spirit so that he can decree through me what needs to happen. So many different ways to pray. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the exhortation Brother Damon shared. Take God out of the box. Let him show you some stuff. You know, we're so diligent to take to him, you promise me, blah, 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 blah. It's biblical. But there's also a time when we come to him and we say, okay, God, what do you want? What do you need from me? How can I cooperate with your process? How can I see what I'm not seeing here? How can you show me? What do I need to understand? Bring me understanding. And taking the limits off of the way that we have so rigidly thought things had to be done. And just letting God be God and flow through us. I'm not talking about putting up with stuff, putting up with the attack of the enemy. But, you know, sometimes we blame stuff on the enemy. It's not the enemy. Sometimes it's of our own doing. Sometimes God is stirring our little nest and making us uncomfortable. And when he does that, sometimes there's friction and stuff we don't like. And we want to take it to God and say, make it go away. And he says, oh, you don't understand. I am making you shine. I am polishing you in this area. This is your sandpaper. Welcome. Count it all joy. Think it not strange concerning these things. And we're like, oh, no, in the name of Jesus, this has got to go. So having a heart that's ready to listen, to take those limits off. Amen? Amen. And I want you to consider this. Just put yourself in this place, if you will, and think about this. On the day of Pentecost, when they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and then these cloven tongues of fire, as it has been described, came and manifested. And suddenly everyone was speaking in a language that they did not understand. Do you think that was just business as usual? Just the ordinary everyday? Oh, this happens every time we come together and pray. Oh my goodness. Have we turned into a cult? Are we listening to the voice of the enemy now? God has never done this before, okay? This is weird. This is strange. It was new. It was different. They were told to wait. They were told they would be empowered. They weren't told that their tongue was not going to be their own. They weren't told that some of the strange things that would happen. Well, how is God glorified just because the wind blew? He wanted to do it. He made some changes. He stirred some things up. So being careful when we think that, oh, well, God's not going to do that. Why do we have to pray in the Spirit all the time? Why don't we just have the teaching of the Word and go home? I've been asked that question. Some of the things that we are pressing into, the thing that Sister Aisha shared about something that God ministered to her, that he birthed in her, that he shared with her, that was going to be delivered to Brother John and that he would be sharing. That's strange. That's different. But how is that any different than God showing me, because my knee hurts, that somebody else needs ministry with their knee, and I can lay hands on them and transfer the anointing and the equipping of what God put into me for their healing? We've got to be able to let God do what he wants to do, even when it seems strange, even when it seems different. You know, he talks about we've not been this way before. There's a lot that God needs to show us and wants to show us in the Spirit because of places he is taking us. When Philip was translated, what did that seem like? I wonder what that felt like. Probably not having heard the testimony of that having been done before. Oh, I've gone off the reservation now. This can't be God. This must be demonic. You got to have that inner witness of the peace of God. That's what you go by, not have I seen it before. But the peace of God. Now, I'm not telling you that we're going to be getting into weird stuff. Please understand. The word says to let everything be done decently and in order. It must be done decently and in order. But we have to remember that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So we have to be willing to let him take us into places that are new and different and possibly uncomfortable and seem strange. But that's why it's important that we know the Word of God, that we understand the Word of God and know what he is saying to us. Because, you know, if somebody came up to you and said, the Lord has given me a word for you, dear lady, and he has said that you are supposed to divorce your husband so I can marry him. There's no question that is not God. Why? Because we know the word of God. Because we know manipulation when we see it. Because we know that God established covenant. And he said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. When you know the word of God, you don't have to worry about those things that come up and you think, well, is that God or not? No, that's not his word. It violates covenant. It violates love. It violates order. It violates authority. It violates so many things. When you know his voice, you're not going to have to worry about, was that God or somebody else? The more we press in and know his voice. Now, we're going to make mistakes sometimes. And that's why we're in a good and a loving family, because we cover one another and we can do that and we can receive correction and understanding and we grow from that. But we have to be willing to step out into some things that are different. We have to be willing. The problem comes when you begin to seek the thing. I want to give somebody a word. I want to have a vision. I want to see angels. The enemy is too willing to accommodate you when you do that. We seek him. We look to God. We seek the Father. We seek the Father's heart. And wherever he directs us, that's where we go. It says a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. We're not looking for signs. He said he would confirm the word with signs following. So we pursue the word. We pursue the word. We pursue him in his presence. We look to him. And then he guides and directs us in what he would have us to do. And that's what we are after. That is a season that we are in. That is where God is wanting to take us, in understanding his heart and his mind for us, what he wants to show us about where he wants to take us. I've always felt that House of the Lord Fellowship Church was a body of generals, okay? There's not a lot of newbies and unlearned that have been here for a long time. If you've been here for a while, you had to go through some stuff. You stuck it out. You've taken the word, because the word has been strong. The word and the teaching here has been strong. And I believe that you are here because there are multiple worldwide ministries that God wants to launch through all of you. I don't know what they are, but I see the ability, the calling, the mantles, the gifting, and many, many people to step out in mighty things. And there are some things that you're going to have to birth in the Spirit. There's going to be some times that you're going to need to travail, because those worldwide ministries that are of God, don't just happen because a camera caught you one day and thought you looked good, and here we go. God may use that, but to be successful and to not bring you down, it takes putting down some roots. And it takes pressing in and hearing the voice of God. And it takes when everybody around you is saying, no, that's not what God's doing right now, but you know in your spirit because of the hours and hours and hours you have spent on your face before him, listening to him, seeking his word. There is strength in this body. There is strength in this people. And God is working in you towards a purpose, not just for your better life. Your better life is going to produce the fruit of better lives all over the world. And that's what God is going for. That's what he's seeking after. So this may feel like a strange journey to some people pressing in, this time of prayer, things that the Spirit is doing, but I'm just asking you to keep your heart close to God and let him judge the things that are being done. And we will stay on track and we will stay on purpose and watch what God will do. Amen? Mighty things. So I'm going to back up just a little bit from where we were, where we left off last week in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Well, we talked about watching, I think, is kind of where we left off, keeping alert and watching. Seeing what God is doing in the Spirit, where he is leading you in your prayer time. What would you have me to cover today? I've given my petitions. I've lifted up to you what was in my heart. I've spent time praising you. I've prayed for leaders. I've decreed over our nation, over my life, your word. Now, Father, what would you have me to watch for today? And that doesn't mean that you have to stay in your prayer closet all day until he shows you, because I understand we got family, we got jobs, we got life, we got commitments. So there is a way to continually, at all times, be alert and watchful in the Spirit while you're taking phone calls, you're working on your computer, you're mowing the grass, you're in school doing your work, whatever it is that you're doing, there is a way to stay conscious of that. And when you are listening and when you are being watchful and alert, there are times that God will say, I need you to cover something. And you may not know what it is, but you just go away. I've got break coming up in 10 minutes. Okay, break time. I go sit in my car, find a quiet place, and just pray in the Spirit for a little bit. God knows what you have time for. He's not going to put a three-hour burden on you when you've got 20 minutes. He's going to give you grace. Understand how he works in those things. But when you can, sometimes it's just 5 minutes praying and covering. And it might have to do with your life. You might get called in by your boss that afternoon for something you didn't even know about. And you'll know as soon as you walk in, I've already covered it. God knew it was coming. It's taken care of. See, that's how he leads us and takes care of us. But sometimes it's for somebody else. Maybe Brother Damon's boss is going to call him in this afternoon. He didn't know anything about it, but KB is just listening. And God, what? Okay, God, I'll pray for Brother Damon. Just pray in the Spirit for a little bit. I got peace. It's going to be okay. They may never know that they were working in concert with what God was doing. But just to know that God would find someone who is willing, who is watching, who is listening, and who is ready. And then we look at the next part of that verse, and this is mostly what we'll cover today, with strong purpose and perseverance. 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 Sometimes what we pray for is covered in 5 minutes, 15 minutes, and we know it's done. And sometimes it's day after day after day, a little at a time. A little at a time, continuing, pressing in, praying. That's perseverance. That's not giving up until you have the peace that God accomplished what he wanted. And again, I know I say it probably, it feels like every other paragraph, but you don't always know what you're praying for. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But if you will be faithful to continue to lift that up, I want to go to Daniel chapter 10. And we know that Daniel was taken captivity into Babylonia, and he was one of the better, I don't know, educated, better looking, whatever men that they brought into their governments there. So he's serving a heathen king, but he's still living as God told him to live. And God delivered a message to him that troubled his spirit. He wasn't sure about it, wasn't sure what to do with it. He knew what he meant, but he began to seek the Lord about it. He fasted, and he sought the Lord, and he fasted, and he sought the Lord. And it was one day, and it was 2 days, and it was 4 days, and it was 8 days, and it was 2 weeks, and it was 2.5 weeks. And, you know, I have to think that there may have been something in him that said, you know, you need to just stop this because it's not producing anything. You need to do something different. And but we know the word says that he continued, and he pressed on for 3 weeks. And finally, an angel came to him. The angel came to him, and he said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Now, if there is anything that would underscore the importance of you praying, the angel came because of his words, not because God said, "Ooh, Daniel looks distressed. Let's send something." Because of Daniel's words, because Daniel prayed, he was heard. Now, we know that there was, as they would say, war in the heavenlies. He came, and the prince of Persia, the spirit over that area, would not let the angel through. And so they had to skirmish a little bit. There was no doubt who would win, except that had Daniel quit, would the angel still have had the ability to break through? Because you persisted, I have come. So the persistence is necessary to see the end of the matter. The angel came and was able to prevail because of Daniel's persistence. When God gives us an assignment to pray, we don't know how long that assignment will go on, but we have to be willing to revisit it every day until God assures us that it is done. Now, I'm talking about some specific things, but it has broad application. When you are trusting God to meet a need financially, when you're trusting God for healing in your body that you haven't felt, we know it's necessary to, having done all to stand, we stand, and we will see the salvation of God. But that carries into the life of intercession and travail as well. Because as long as God keeps bringing that, we have to continue to pray as he would have us to pray. And understand that if we're continuing to pray, we're probably not seeing any difference in what it is we're covering. That has to be okay. We have to be willing to continue to cover and to pray. "God, you told me that I would have a worldwide ministry, and you said this was the beginning. And everything's fallen apart, and I continue to pray, and I continue to travail and to seek your face. And my phone continues to not ring, and people continue to not invite me, and stuff continues to not happen." But that's because we're looking here. And we have to know by the Spirit of God that if he has called us to action on something, something's going on somewhere in the spirit realm. Something that we can't see is being taken care of. So we must be faithful in that process to continue in prayer to press in, because God wants to not just bless us and take care of us. He wants to use us. See, we're going further maybe than some churches do. Some churches are all about getting you taken care of. "I want to make sure you're okay. Are you okay today?" You're okay today because God loves you and I love you. Go home and be blessed. Know that God loves you. That's a wonderful message. That's beautiful. But there's more to the life of a believer than that. But we have to choose to press into it. We have to choose not to quit and to not give up. And we're going to talk a few minutes about that perseverance and understanding birthing somewhat and travail. Before any great work goes forth in the earth, it is birthed in the Spirit in prayer. We know that things are accomplished in the Spirit, and then they're manifested in the natural realm around us. As we press in, we are accomplishing things that will be done. So I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 66, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 66, 8 through 9, it says, "Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day?" Now, a lot of people have taken that to talk about Israel and when it became a nation. But I think there's more to it, deeper than that. It says, "Shall a nation be brought forth in a moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the moment of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who causes to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God?" No, God brings us to a place of birthing in the lost. Let me not get ahead of myself. He's talking here where he says when Zion was in labor. Zion is often spoken of as the dwelling place of God, which has become us, his church. We see that referenced in Hebrews 10, where he says you've come to, you know, he's talking about you're not coming to a mountain like the Israelites did that was on fire and smoking and earthquakes and very scary. But he says, we've come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, and the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. So Zion is us. And as we labor in travail, we bring forth children. Who are those children? The lost that are coming in, the lost that God wants to bring in. So this is a spiritual birthing that we do, and I would present to you that evangelism doesn't begin with going out. It begins with praying in. Praying in, not just God send us the lost, but so many situations and circumstances we don't know about that people are going through. People that walk by this building every day, I can't cover it all in English. But when I submit myself, God, I know you want to bring in those people. You want to minister to those needs. Use me to pray for those people. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. God will use us to rearrange circumstances for all of those people and to make us ready as well for all of those people so that when he brings them in, it is at the right time. You've all heard us, we've talked about Father Nash, who would go ahead of, I think it was Charles Finney, when he would bring a revival series that he was having in a city, he would send this man before him, and he would find two or three partners from the churches who understood what he was talking about, and they would spend hours and hours on their face before God praying, travail, birthing. And I believe it was Finney that they said had the longest rate of people staying in, staying hooked up, staying saved, if you will, not backsliding, not giving up, not going away. Like 70 or 80% of those who came into the kingdom through his ministry stayed with it. That's an awesome number, far and above so many others. So there's something to this praying ahead of time and praying these things in. And we also see a type of this in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul said, "My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs, until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you." Paul had evidently birthed them into the kingdom, prayed them into the kingdom, and then subsequently went into that birthing and travailing again for their maturity. How often do we submit ourselves to pray for the maturity of the body? There's more than just coming into the kingdom. There's also learning and growing in the faith that needs to be covered. Well, how do we cover it? I don't know. What do these people need to grow up? Well, they need the Word. They need the Holy Spirit. They need love. But what specifically, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray for these people. He comes alongside us and prays with us against the things that would keep them from growing and maturing. You can kind of see that in First Timothy 2, we talked about that last week, where he talks about, first of all, we pray for all men, for kings, for this praying is good and right. And then verse 4, it says, three says, this praying is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who, in verse 4, number 1, he wants all men to be saved. And number 2, he wants them to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. So there's the process of bringing in the lost, and then there's the process of praying in the maturity. Do you see that? That is a process that us as believers need to participate with, to cooperate with. God, how can I cover this? How would you have me to pray for this? What would you have me to say? And he may give you a scripture to pray over someone. He may give you a scripture to pray over the city. Or he may say, just pray in the spirit because I got a lot I want to say. And let you pray it out until you sense that release. And that, I can tell you, is going to be an ongoing thing. Because you will pray people in, and then you will have the joy of that. And then will come the other opportunity to pray more people in. And pray more people in. And I don't know. It may be that some people are more predisposed to be called on for that than others. It may be that you constantly, every time you pray, God turns your face to the political scene in the United States of America, and you're covering Donald Trump in travail and Mike Pence and our leaders in travail for godly leadership. Because again, it all begins when we look to him. God, I want to cover what you want me to cover. And he may have you covering the leadership in the body of House of the Lord. Or he may have you constantly, consistently, every time you come before him, praying for the lost, with a burden for the lost. I can't tell you what he's going to ask of you because I don't know. But I can tell you that when you submit to him, when you allow him, he will do these things through you. But I will tell you that prayer is necessary. Prayer is necessary. There is something that I asked Sister Aisha to be willing to share today. Are you good with that still? Something that she shared with some of us ladies a few weeks ago. And it was very interesting because I had just been studying that very same thing, seeing some of the same things, but in a different way. Sister Aisha, if you would come, please. Aisha is a tremendous blessing. Aisha sees and hears a lot of things in the spirit because she spends a lot of time before God covering and loving his people as he directs. And I appreciate all the things that she shared with me, the things that she has shared with us. And I believe that I think it's going to kind of wrap it up and give a complete understanding of the why and the what and the how and all of those good things.
Thank you, Pastor. You look really pretty today. I love your bag. I detect flyness. So, Pastor Michelle, I believe in remember the first minister's meeting that I got to attend? And she had shared with us that God had put it in her to teach on intercession. And she started receiving and getting more and more and more. And she had already, you know. Anyway, in the first part of April, I had a vision from the Lord, and he was explaining to me and showing me the reason why she had to begin teaching on intercession and prayer. There is an end purpose for it. It's not just so that we can become wise or learned. It's an equipping for a purpose. You cannot go into battle without weaponry. There's no way. There's no option. You're dead on the ground. What, dead in the water? Is that, that's the right way to say it? Yes. We have to be equipped. There's all kinds of things happening. And the way we even look right now is not even our finished result. Who is here left among us? And who has come back? And who will come back? We're being trained. We know this. Our numbers weren't thin because of anything wrong we did. You got to cut away the fat sometimes. You got to get rid of the weight. I'm not putting anybody down. Some people belong somewhere else. But sometimes people just refuse to go to that next level of glory. But God moves a house to the next level of glory. And if they don't want to submit to that, they're not going to submit to that. They're going to find a reason and want to go. Well, I don't like that this is happening all the time. Really? Who are you defying right now? Are you defying man? You want to play that game? No, you defy the Lord. And he still loves you. But go on and get. We will not be slowed down. Anyway. She's nice. Y'all know I'm not really that nice. I have a gold tooth back here. I'm telling y'all. I just hide it a lot. So let's talk about the vision. I'll read it because it happened a few weeks ago, but where is it? I'll just give it to you the way God allowed me to communicate it because it was in pictures. So the Lord said, I am opening up the fountains of the deep. And in this vision, I saw Noah's flood. I don't think I saw exactly Noah's flood, but I saw what happened in the flood. The rains came down from heaven, and the rock broke open, and water gushed out. So the groundwater was released. The water out of the rocks were released. And then the water in the heavens, not the heaven where God lives, but in the sky, they were open too. So water was coming from two different directions when the earth was flooded, from below and from above. So God, as he's showing me this vision, I'm just seeing the water. I don't see the ark and all that stuff. It's just about the release of those two flows. God says, I'm opening up the fountains of the deep. In Genesis 7, 11b through 12, it reads, on that day, all the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. The first thing that happens is that the fountains of the deep are opened first. The second thing that occurs is then the windows of heaven are opened. That's notable. This is what the Lord said to me. I record everything. He says, the story of Noah is not about destruction, but about change. Yes. There was great destruction upon the earth in those days, but also a great deliverance was wrought in those days. As it was then, so it is now. Great destruction will befall the kingdom of darkness in these days, and a great deliverance is occurring as well. Then the Lord asked me a question. He says, what are the fountains of the deep and the rain from heaven to you now? Meaning, what does that mean to you? The Holy Spirit is a teacher. and he'll ask you questions, and they'll be like, just answer, Lord, I don't know, because you don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, Lord. That's what the prophet answered, right? He asks a question. It's rhetorical because he knows I don't know. And then he explains. He says, the rains from heaven are my angels descending and ascending back and forth, delivering and bringing about my word. What do we know from the Psalms? Is it 107? Or is it 103? They excel in strength. They go forth to bring about the word of God. That's their job. They minister to his saints. So we know that they're tasked to bring about the word of God, to accomplish it. Then he goes on to say, the fountains of the deep are the prayers of the saints being offered up in concession to this. See, the fountains of the deep open up. Our God is a rock, is he not? Well, what is his body? We made a rock too. We are those rocks. And what is prophesied, what was prophesied would flow from our bellies? Living water. That is not relegated to teaching and preaching. Remember what it says in, what was that, John chapter 7. Jesus said this in regards to the Holy Spirit. And then we go on here. He says, this work, this flood, requires prayers be made, and this work requires heaven be open, and this work requires angels ascending and descending. Heavenly angelic traffic, much traffic. Why? Because much word is going forth. So what does this have to do with the church? And I'm wrapping up. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the Lord points to, it reads, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We know that, say, what is it about the devil? He keeps trying to bring about that rule that he desires, right? And it keeps being thwarted every time. It says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. We know that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what keeps the kingdom of darkness at bay and in check. Once we are raptured out, guess what? He's released. And then we get into Revelation and we start to see. We get into Isaiah and we get into Jeremiah and Ezekiel and we begin to see what he's been after this whole time. But until the church is taken out of the equation, that's when the Holy Spirit leaves. We, along with the Holy Spirit, are the system of checks and balances for the kingdom of darkness. So, it's not just the work of the Holy Spirit alone. It is the saints of God and the Holy Spirit, him working through the church. This is occurring through prayer. You cannot preach the floodgates open. You cannot preach the great awakening. There will be preachers that arise. There will be miracles. There's going to be all those types of things. But the other part of this that is really key is that we look at the Great Awakening and we see the great harvest of souls. It's twofold. And history bears witness to this. How many of you remember being taught about the Protestant Reformation? That was after the Middle Ages. And we know about the Catholic Church and you can, you know, pay for sins to be forgiven. And it was just all kinds of abuses and stuff. And then there's that thing that historians refer to as the Protestant Reformation. That's not an accurate term for what that was. That was an awakening. God always has a remnant. Even during the dark ages, there were those believers that understood grace. The whole world was not covered in darkness. He's always had a remnant.
even when it seemed like darkness wasn't rule. What were they doing? You think that Protestant Reformation just happened on its own? No, for 1,000 years, people cried out in hiding. They were burning people at the stake who spoke of grace, even during the time of Henry VIII. Believers who said, who dared say, the word of God is more than enough. We need nothing else. The Holy Spirit is our help. We need nothing else. Guess what? They were murdered and martyred and killed. But they kept crying out, and what happened? Some knowledge got released from heaven. There was an invention that came forth, the Gutenberg Press. Game changed! And the word of God began to be published in the people's vernacular. And I praise God for men like what William Tyndale and others who gave their lives. 2 years after he was burned at the stake, Henry VIII allowed the Bible to be printed in English. But that was paid for with his life. And they rejoiced for their opportunity to share in the sufferings of Christ. I say all this to say that now, I don't know what martyrs, we have martyrs going on right now in Nigeria, in the Middle East. We have people who are being hurt in other ways, professionally wounded, socially assaulted and persecuted in our nation, blah, blah, blah. I won't go into too much more, but the awakening is not just about the harvest of souls. It is also about social change. Look in the annals of history. Look in the Bible. When the Great Awakening happens, it affects the whole world. It's a check on the kingdom of darkness. Great social change occurs. What is the first thing that happened? Remember when they in Acts, when was it Paul and John were arrested, right? And then the saints came together and prayed. Lord, observe their threats. Give us boldness. Notice they never prayed against the powers that be. They, Lord, observe their threats and give us boldness so that we can preach the gospel and confirm your word, Lord God, with miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what they asked. They asked for more fire. And that's exactly what God gave them. And look at how it affected the social climate of Jerusalem. Even, keep reading, unbelievers brought their sick to the church. The church began to be courted for healing. There was a space and time when nobody touched them for fear of the people. Even though the religious leadership there were plotting to kill them, they couldn't touch them. Not until it was time for them to leave Jerusalem. And we know that Stephen's death was the breaking of a seal. Anyway, I won't go into that. But it's not just about the souls. There's political change that will come out of it. There is social change that will come out of it. Why? Because we are correcting a world that has been ruled or dominated by darkness. It's being pulled back. So we have had the honor and the privilege of the Spirit of God training us through our leadership and teaching us about intercession and various prayers. It is not so that we can know a little bit more about it. I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to go back over the recordings and re-listen. Squeeze that fruit until you get every drop of juice. Take the word heard and mix it in your heart with faith so that it can be profitable to you. Begin to step out. Don't have a "I already know that" attitude. Have a "Yes, Lord, hear my" attitude. Have a "body thou hast prepared for me that I may do thy will, O God" attitude. You were born and released into this time for such a time as this. You could have been born into any other era of man, but God appointed you for this time, for this work, This awakening is not going to occur after we are dead. We have a part to play. It is upon us. This is serious and vital, and we cannot be distracted by the cares of this world. We're going to need times of encouragement. We're going to need times of refreshing. He's already got that for us from his spirit. Just the other day, I was fussing to my girlfriend talking about, I'm tired of praying all the time. All I do is pray. And she very lovingly was like, settle down. God is good. Laugh behind that mask. I can read between the lines. But she encouraged me, and I went back into prayer, and God is good. More light. That's always his response to our need. And we are learning that though we are constantly being fought against and distracted, because we have three enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil. And all these three conspire against us, sometimes together, sometimes just a ruckus. Nevertheless, we shall lack for no good thing.
Thank you. I don't know. I think I heard some preach in there. A little bit of preach in there. There's so much in that, but the exhortation is that we have an opportunity to cooperate with the process that God is doing in the earth right now by submitting to drawing closer to him, listening more closely, fine-tuning our relationship with him, covering what he needs us to cover. And I'm telling you that what's coming is going to be a time of release and commissioning. Release and commissioning. Those who will cooperate with the process of listening, of allowing the fountains of the deep within you to be broken up as you cry out to him, desire him more than anything, let the Holy Spirit flow through you and join you to the process of the open heavens and the angelic activity and his word and his angels and his Holy Spirit going forth as you cooperate with that process. Oh, it sounds really lofty. It sounds exciting and beautiful, but as Aisha just shared with us, it's just in my prayer closet, praying again, praying again, praying again. But you're stirring, and you're being stirred, and you're being challenged, and you're being changed, and you're standing, and you're listening, and you're being trained so that when you are called up and it's time to be commissioned, you will be ready. And the fruit that you produce in your ministry is not going to bring you down, because you know his voice, and the voice of another you will not follow. And you've cooperated with his process, and you know that he will use you according to his will. Amen?
Amen. Stand with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just offer a few minutes of prayer to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. I'm going to pray, but I want y'all to pray as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before you, and we thank you for your word, mighty God. We thank you that you have positioned us in the earth as you have willed and as you want, and you have caused us to be the ones to rise up for this awakening, for this shaking, for this transition, for this time, Father God. We praise you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, that you have seen fit to use us in your kingdom to establish your kingdom work, your kingdom will, your plan, and your purpose. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sakuro barakide. Delo bosodura magati yende kosondo de kesidere. Mela kosotore rarabando rosodore kishte de karabarra patite sere. Le manondo roco sondo de kiriri ela masanda rabasa tararaka sharre. Le la condore de riri anna mondo ramandi ele la candando rogodosto de kiriri visi. Se torroso da rabasti da rabati che ela mondo dorebbe da diriri. E le berosso romandi le cana mandondo regada di serera da batarro. Se tu te chiede baba basite reste a romondo sondo rechiriri di die. E tu remanda la cur romanda richiri a ramassa tarabassa. Sharoso regile le cassa rondo rechidide de rera da massa torombo. A che ya rosso ndo rechidide de massando roco setiki. Sero la mando roba andare ieri che dando rosso dorre che si sede. Mando re che di ando lo sede di baraba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Holy Spirit, move now among your people. Move now among those in this room. Move now to those that are watching by live stream. Holy Spirit, we release you to demonstrate the power of the Almighty God. Hallelujah, with miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, whether it's healing, whether it's financial breakthrough, whether it's circumstances or situations that need to be changed, I release you, Holy Spirit, to move in every family, every household, every individual, every person. Within the sound of my voice, move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Sakure kene mando rosete rebeside de da karabatata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. We could probably stay here for a couple hours, but I want to let you, or I want to remind you one more time, Tuesday night, we're going to pick up. That doesn't mean you can't pray between now and Tuesday night. Please, pray between now and Tuesday night. Pray before you get home. Pray after you get home. Pray before you eat. Pray after you eat. Be constantly conscious of God and His will, His plan, and His purpose. Of what He's doing in the earth. Continue to pray. Be open. Be watching. Be listening. And then come back on Tuesday night and we will join ourselves together, our hearts together, and we will begin or continue to break up the fountains of the deep. Or allow God to break up those fountains in us, using us. Praise God. Praise God. 6:30 on Tuesday. Prayer meeting from 6:30 to 8 or whenever. I will let you know that on the 26th, Tuesday the 26th, there will not be prayer meeting. We may move it to another night or another day or something, but on the 26th and only on the 26th, the building will be used for something else, so we won't be a meeting on that night. But this coming Tuesday, yes, we will be here. I call you blessed. I say that the Lord's hand is upon your life. His Spirit is moving mightily in you. And you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That the favor and grace of God surrounds you on all sides. He leads you, the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in all truth, triumph, and victory, and you are fully supplied by His abundant grace, by His abundant provision. You are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord blesses, none can curse. We'll see you on Tuesday night, and then again on Wednesday. Go with God. Bye.